If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. We're back with the final part of our chat with Bruno Aguiar of ESL. As we delve more into the esports landscape and the future investments that ESL is making, along with the importance of data, Garnett starts this part off with a question about sponsorships. So let's get to it.
Have you seen any of the big soft drink companies getting into this? It just seems like ready-made for Coke or Pepsi or...
Oh, yeah, no, we have Pepsi. Yeah, Pepsi is already there. So, no, definitely. I mean, I would say that right now it's kind of ready for any company.
Okay.
I think, you know, okay, maybe some industries do not relate so much, but...
I'm guessing soft drink and cola in particular is an integral part of the training regime of most of these kids. So.
I would say not anymore. At least not at the top. At the top, no.
Now it's Gatorade.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm not a professional player myself, so I can't speak to them. But I would say really focus on that nowadays.
We're not talking about your training regime.
Let's not do that.
Oh, don't get me started. I crave Pepsi and Coke constantly, and I don't drink it at all. You know, so hopefully none of your sponsors are listening to this podcast, Bruno.
But you crave it. That's the important.
Yeah, exactly. So technically, you know, their marketing is working on me. Every time I have a hamburger or a piece of pizza, I crave Coke and Pepsi.
I mean, McDonald's also joined recently. We also have McDonald's.
There you go.
So, no, I mean, the audience is global and it's massive. So I would say there are not many reasons why you wouldn't want to jump on this pool.
So growth, we just got out of essentially a part of this conversation that was about how impressively and how globally the growth is happening with brand sponsors and sponsorships. Let's backtrack just a little bit. I know ESL is big and it's getting bigger. Sometime around the end of 2018, you guys announced this co-investment scheme where you were going to be investing a certain amount of money. I think the number I remember is 100 million. To help shape the future landscape of esports globally. You know, we don't need to get into too many details. I'm sure a lot of the answers are fairly, you know, internal potentially, but just, you know, in broad strokes, what sorts of categories is that future looking investment going to be, you know, allocated towards?
Yeah, no, I mean, so we're mostly talking about infrastructure and technical developments of the different kinds, network integration, anti-cheat, and so on. So it's everything much related with kind of like infrastructure that we want to have in place to really scale the event, scale that we can have more people watching, more people participating, more people commenting and engaging with the content and all that. So yeah, it's mostly in that area. I don't have too many details actually on that, or at least that I can share. So we do understand the need for kind of continuous development, and I think that's the key message here: continuous technical development in order to make this the kind of show that we want to make, and that's pretty much what this is.
Got it. I want to read you a quote from one of your colleagues in the UK and then ask you to comment on it a little bit.
Sure.
This is a quote from James Dean, not the ghost of the dead actor, but James Dean, the managing director.
Yeah, he's now managing director in the UK.
Yeah. And here's the quote. At the forefront of an emerging and rapidly growing esports industry, we're in a very fortunate and unique position to have insight in the live viewing habits and interactivity of young, tech-savvy, and early adopting audiences. I think those are the nerds, but we're ecstatic to be working alongside industry leaders across the Weaver Consortium, I guess that's a consortium of tech companies in the UK, to pave the way for the next generation of immersive technology, and with UKRI support, to realize a framework for the future of live entertainment and sports. So my question is, how does an industry, esports, that started as something very underground or very like youth subculture. How do you manage to get in bed with the stodgy UK government? What's that all about?
Well, I think that the quick answer is that, you know, basically esports, or at least our vision for esports, is something truly mass. So it's not kind of a niche subculture anymore. So it started as such, mostly because of kind of a technology and the fact that the technology was not available for everyone. So starting like that, but the way we see this is moving forward is really, I mean, gaming and video gaming and esports will become kind of a normal part of life. And as such, it just makes sense that we align with governments, whether it's UK or any other, when it comes to regulation, investment, all of that stuff. So, I mean, it just really reflects the fact that esports is no longer kind of a niche thing and it's becoming more mass. And that's basically it.
And do you ever worry about, you know, your core audience of, you know, millennial gamers, you know, even if it's going more and more mainstream, do you ever worry that they might revolt against the concept of data sharing with the government? Or, you know, there are some pretty big companies out there losing some pretty big dollars. You know, I'm thinking about Facebook. Facebook just announced a $3 billion charge on their first quarter.
That's a very different ball.
And in the Facebook SEC document, they cited costs associated with the FTC. FTC is the, you know, the group in the U.S. that oversees COPPA and all this other stuff. Yeah. You know, compliance, data compliance.
Yeah.
So, do you have a worry about, you know, your audience getting upset about data sharing with the government?
No, well, first, not really. I mean, the short answer is, I mean, basically the Weaver Consortium is not really, it's not about data sharing in a nutshell. I mean, it's about much more than that. There is an element of understanding or having an insight in terms of viewing habits. So that is not personal, as in, it's not about your name, your address, or that. We're talking about where do you see, whether you stream, which channels, how often. So it's more about viewing habits than anything that is kind of led with the privacy of the data. So I don't think it's a really, really an issue there. In terms of kind of the wider, the bigger question of, you know, kind of the core or the original gamers kind of revolting, you know, as part of seeing this, I would say, industry in general, kind of becoming more mass. I don't think so. I mean, I think that the benefits of having more people playing, that having more investment in technology and having more of this content out there that is interesting for them, it totally outweighs any kind of concern with, you know, whether we're working with the government or not. Because I mean, I think working with the government is something that any real sport does. So because there has to be rules and regulations and, you know, we need to work within a framework. And so I think it's actually important that we kind of go from a small thing kind of like full of pirates and hackers to something that is, you know, it's consistent, it's transparent, it's, I don't know, kind of a bit more adult in the sense that it is responsible. So I think that's the way to go.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
Interesting.
So that kind of reminds me, Garnett, of our discussion a couple of weeks ago with the guy from Ultimate Guitar, Daniel Ray. And Bruno, this is a site that has guitar tablature and chord structures and things like that. And they're the only one from the early days of the internet that survived because they decided to kind of go legit. And they're now a thriving business.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is kind of similar. You're exactly. Like, well, we want to be a legit business. We want to be a real business. And so we've got to do a few things like cooperating with the government.
Yeah, yeah. And above all, we want to be a real sport. Like going back to the beginning of the conversation. Yeah. And the only way to really become kind of a real sport as perceived by everyone is to actually kind of comply to these rules. So, I mean, we need, I mean, and maybe I'm talking more personally than on behalf of ESL, but I mean, the government doesn't have to be necessarily stodgy. Sure. I mean, the government can be something that actually really helps the development of yeah, but you see what I mean? My point is, then well, working with any government actually gives us many more possibilities that otherwise we wouldn't have in terms of investment, in terms of promoting. So it is important, and I think it we could all benefit from it.
Yeah, and I think that's what a mature business kind of realizes, yeah, right? That you need to do those things. Exactly. So a lot of what we've talked about kind of feels futuristic, mm-hmm, but I'm interested in what you think about the future of esports. And Garnett and I have talked about this before, that we actually think that in America, certain sports like the NFL are going to run into trouble over the next 10, 15 years, whatever it is, because of, you know, concussions, because of injuries, mm-hmm, and that the future for a sport like that may actually lie in esports. Mm-hmm. That's our opinion. What do you think of the future of esports?
Okay. So yeah, it's an interesting analogy because, I understand why, but let me just put out there first that, you know, esports is I would say mostly about all the games that you have, which do not really have a real life comparison, or there's no real life equivalent. So NFL, of course, is a kind of an online version, and Formula One, etc., racing. But if we think about the biggest games, the Counter Strikes, the Dota 2, the Fortnites, and they do not have a real life equivalent, and those are the big ones. So when we talk about the future of esports, I mean, for me, I think it's clear that this is going to become one of the most popular forms of entertainment. And as sports goes, we believe it can go all the way to becoming like in the top five, you know, probably not never big as football, for example. So that's one side of it. Then, I mean, in terms of what do we expect kind of in the next coming years, I mean, I would say that, well, we hope to continue to lead the industry. But then, I mean, we expect a growing number of viewers. I mean, 20-25% growth per year. That's what we've been observing so far. So it's really kind of exploding in terms of the interest of the audience, which then reflects in terms of prize money, which then reflects in terms of sponsors, in terms of broadcasters, number of broadcasters that are interested in our content, not only kind of the original online ones, but also offline and kind of a cable TV, etc. So it's becoming more and more of an entertainment form, although that's the way to go in the next couple of years. To your point of the NFL, I don't know. I don't know if that's the way it will go. What I would say is that in order to attract a younger audience and in order to maintain an engagement with whatever is the audience that you have now, you cannot do that without kind of an online presence in the form of esports as well. Okay, so online obviously is obvious, of course, the app, that website, da, 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 but in the form of esports. So you will need that. And I think that's true for NFL, but pretty much for all the other sports.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing I think I know right now is that we're going to want to have you back every 6 months to talk about the development of esports. Because it's going to become, I think, part of the firmament of society. Yep. And it may just be referred to as sports, just like e-business 20 years ago was a thing. Yeah. Now it's just business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, really appreciate you being here, Bruno.
I'm very happy to be here. I really appreciate the invite.
All right, next time we're back with a one-on-one session with Garnett and me. We have lots of topics we've been batting back and forth, and it should be a fun discussion. So stay tuned.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.
You stay home for the greater good. Secondhand smoke doesn't. It drifts through cracks in walls, air vents, and sink drains, spreading toxic chemicals that can damage lungs. Secondhand vape also puts your lungs at risk, even with the fruity smells. Protect yourself and the people around you from these secondhand dangers. Learn how at tobaccofreeca.com.